grandfather and my great-grandfather. My dad, for the most part, lived out the life he expected me to live. My dad never missed a day of work. In fact, for a good part of my life, he worked two jobs. He always found time to go back to the farm and help his dad. And whether my dad was the employee or the employer, he always worked hard and made sure the job was done right. Now, I did not have a choice as to which family I would be born in. My expected identity was laid out before me. You might say I had a lot to live up to. I certainly had many choices to make in life. And I had a choice to be what was expected, to be a true Meeker, or I could choose to go a different path. And what was unique about my dad is that he instilled a pride in me in such a way that it wasn't a burden. I never felt that he set overwhelming standards. I wanted to be a Meeker. I wanted to live my life in a way that I could walk with my head held high and my chest out. From our readings in Genesis, we see that all of us were made with a predetermined identity. In Genesis 1:27, we heard earlier, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Mankind was created to be like God. We were supposed to be a people of light. We were supposed to be a people of love. We were supposed to be a people who also created, who also ruled, a people who lived in relationship with each other and relationship with our God. You might say that we had an identity to live up to. And just as I had a choice whether or not I was going to live up to the standard of being a Meeker, mankind had a choice whether or not to live in the image of God. But as we know how the story goes, Adam and Eve fell from grace, and mankind gained a new identity, an identity as a sinner. And through Jesus Christ, when we are forgiven and redeemed, we are given a new identity. And from Romans 8, it says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And now if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." You see, our new identity is as children of God. It says we are adopted as sons and daughters of God. But a special note, we are not born children of God. It says only those who are led by the Holy Spirit are the children of God. And anyone who says that everyone is God's child is wrong, for it's not scriptural. And if that bothers you, I'd be happy to have a discussion with you. But the scripture says, as adopted and redeemed children, we are heirs of God. That means we will inherit the eternal kingdom. And Paul also gives us more of our new identity in 2 Corinthians 5. "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, a part of our new identity is to be ambassadors of Christ. The scripture says we are to be the righteousness of God. But if this is who we are supposed to be, why does it seem that so many of us are not living it out? Ask yourself, does the Holy Spirit lead your life? Are you a new creation in Christ? Are you reconciled to God? Are you a living image of God? That's a tough question, isn't it? Are you a living image of God? According to the author of the book that the sermon series is based on, there is a reason many of us are not living it out. He says the issue is a failure to accept a new identity in Jesus. We have not accepted that very power of the grace that forgives and redeems us. He says we have not fully accepted it. We have not taken on that new identity. We have left the very power of that grace behind. The author Max Wilkins said this, "Sometimes I need to accept that I am a child of God because God says I am, regardless of how I feel." Some of you may feel unworthy. Some of you just may not get it. But he says, no matter what, we need to accept that we're a child of God because God says that we are. We must accept his forgiveness. We must accept his grace. We must believe that the Holy Spirit is truly an agent of change. That the Holy Spirit is capable of changing us, of making us something different. And once we accept the Holy Spirit is truly the agent of change, we must allow the Holy Spirit's power to work in our lives. Now just imagine, we've seen on the news these hurricanes and different things are coming through the south. But imagine some serious storms come through our area. We've seen that before. And let's say that you heard my yard was filled with downed trees. It was just a big old mess. And you call me up and I say, yes, my yard is a mess. I don't think there's anything I can do to fix it. I mean, there's so many trees down, I don't even know where to start. So you bring over this gift to me. You explain to me that this gift has the power to take care of my problems. This gift can clear out the debris. The gift can restore my yard. And you leave this nice package with me. And a week later, you come back and you see that it's still in the box. And my yard is still in the same shape. Now, did I really accept your gift if I never opened it? Did I really accept your gift if I never used it? You'd probably say, what's wrong? Why haven't you used it? Don't you believe that it will work? Don't you believe this gift has the power to do the job? Now, what if I said, oh yeah, I believe there's power in that saw. Does that get anything done? Oh, I believe there's power in the saw. But just saying that you believe it doesn't get anything done. See, I have to accept the gift. I have to unwrap the gift. I have to use the gift. See, I don't have the power to cut those logs without the power of the saw. But the saw, despite all of its power, requires that I accept it and I use it. And I think too many people have the same problem in life. And sin and sin and more sin has left a path of destruction in our lives. And we say we believe in the gift of salvation. We say we believe in forgiveness. We say we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we may go to God and we may ask for forgiveness and we may ask for redemption. We may ask for a way out. But how many of us have accepted the Holy Spirit? How many of us are willing to use that power of the Holy Spirit to really affect change in our lives? The saw was there. It has all the power. But it doesn't work until I pick it up and I use it. And if we really want to be the image of God, then we must accept the power of the Holy Spirit. And we must do our part to use the Holy Spirit to mold us and shape us into the image of God. Because see, we don't have the power to do it on our own. We can't just become holy by following a set of rules and regulations. Becoming the image of God is not about us trying to live out holiness on our own power. We cannot be the image of God on our own. We must not only follow God's laws, we must follow God's laws through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus teaches us in John 14, "Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me and will do the works I have been doing," he says, "they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." And he continues, "All of this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." We see that in these verses that our love for God leads us to obedience with God. And through our love and our obedience, he gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the true identity of a child of God. This is how we become the image of God. This is how we become Christ's ambassadors. This is how we become his righteousness. You see, we have to accept it, we have to claim it, and we must do it through his power. And we are promised great rewards, for our rewards and our identity are eternal rewards. Earlier in John 14, Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." And in Revelations, John wrote, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" See, salvation, our forgiveness, our redemption is a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. Heaven is a gift. But to get these gifts, we have to accept our new identity. We have to go and claim these gifts. And the way to claim these gifts is through our love and obedience to God. Are you ready to be the image of God? Are you ready to receive your new identity? Are you ready to claim your home in heaven? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, too often we want to be more like the world and less like you. Lord, search our hearts today. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit move among the people seated here today, that they may take an honest look at themselves to see how they have loved you, to see how they have been obedient, and to see how they have or have not been your image. Lord, it is not always an easy life to live out the life of our new identity. But the beauty of your promise is the promise of the Holy Spirit, who will give us the power to live out that life. Lord, I pray here today that any of those people who may not know you and may not know this gift may recognize that the Holy Spirit is present today. And if they simply ask for your forgiveness, you will forgive them. If they seek your redemption, they will be redeemed. And if they love you and are obedient and seek a new identity through the power of the Holy Spirit, they will be given one. Lord, let us always remember that in all that we do, we are your ambassadors for Christ. Let us lead people to Christ and never away. All of this we ask and pray through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to leave you with these encouraging words from the Apostle Paul. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus
our Lord. We're not in this alone. Our Father in heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Holy Spirit has made us conquerors. And through the Holy Spirit, let us go now and live to be the image of Christ. Let us go and be great ambassadors of His light, His love, His grace, and His mercy. Let us go now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of His Holy Spirit. Amen.